An overwhelming majority of Massachusetts residents would take a coronavirus vaccine, but those who have been disproportionately affected by the virus are also more likely to want someone else to take it first. That from a new Mass Inc. poll conducted for the Museum of Science and the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers. So we talked with Michael Curry, who's the incoming CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, earlier today about the new numbers, and I began by asking him if he was encouraged that only 7% of respondents said they wouldn't take the vaccine.
I am. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of national polls that have told us that people are not likely to take this vaccine, including half of those polled nationally. What it's telling us is that a majority of people are likely to take it, and we can segment that out. Those that were likely, 36% are likely to take it as soon as it's available. 47% are likely to take it after others take it. And I think that's encouraging, with only 7% saying they would not take it.
So let's talk about that after others part, Michael, because that does seem to be another big finding of the poll. All right. So while 38% of white residents said they'll take the vaccine ASAP, you know, you just went over the numbers with us, 28% of black residents, 22% of Latinx residents say they will, but many will wait until someone else has taken it first. I know you've thought a lot about trust issues in our healthcare system. Do you want to explain what you think you're seeing behind those numbers?
Yeah, I think some of this is unreadiness. We know that there are some folks that are unready, either because of Operation Warp Speed and the perceived haste with which this vaccine is made available. Some would view it as the politics and the division, and maybe that influenced the process. Some have inherent distrust in our system, and that's born out of history. So a combination of all of that is what you see in the polls around those who are waiting on others to take it. And what people say to me is they say, I don't want to be a guinea pig.
So how do you address those fears, Michael? What is that messaging, and what's the communication strategy that the Commonwealth needs to put in place, that community health centers need to put in place? How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, one is just the science. I think whatever we can do to bring that information in a way that's digestible, that's understandable of how vaccines work, the benefit of a vaccine, tying that to the disparate impact of this disease on certain communities, giving people the history, not only the history of vaccines, but the history of our healthcare system. And then basically making sure that people understand that this vaccine that is now on the verge of being approved here in the United States gives people an option to survive this pandemic. Once you make and connect all those dots, I'm feeling confident that people will be in line and ready to take the vaccine as soon as they can.
Michael, the poll tells a little bit about who needs to be front and center in delivering those kinds of messages. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I think there's different groups of folks that we're finding in the poll that people believe, right, that they're trusted messengers. And it's no surprise that the number one trusted messenger, as much as we love Fauci across the country, the number one trusted messenger is your provider, is your primary care provider. You go to your doctor, and whether you have no illness and you're healthy, or you have diabetes or heart disease or cancer or high blood pressure, you're relying on the direction and advice of your provider to guide you through whatever your health condition is. So it's no surprise in the poll that over 80% of those polled believe in and trust in their providers. We need to make sure that providers are on the front line of the messaging. And quite frankly, as we prioritize them in taking the vaccine, providers are also being vaccinated and can say, hey, I took it and I'm recommending you take it as well. And then there's a cascade of others, institutional folks, community health centers, hospitals are high. So what do we do with all that? There needs to be a cascade of messaging, starting with the primary care providers, messaging down what the data says, what the science says, and the urgency of taking this vaccine.
And I just want to clarify for listeners, when you say Fauci, you mean Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, who actually in the poll ranks as one of the trusted sources along with some of the other institutions, kind of underscoring your point that medical professionals that people feel they know are important to carrying this message, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have our own local versions of that, Monica Burrell, Department of Public Health, and many others that we have at our hospital systems that we trust. And again, they're providers, they're doctors. People want to lean on the people who know.
One of the sources of reticence here has been politicization. We do know that this pandemic, safety measures around the pandemic, responses to the pandemic have been politicized. And one of the things that was interesting in this data was it exposed that those most likely to support wearing, for example, masks are also the ones most likely to go up first on the vaccine. You're talking about white college-educated people, Democrats, people with advanced degrees. On the flip side, 67% of Republicans, for example, said they don't trust the government on healthcare issues. We knew about some of the other divides between government trust and people of color, for example. But these numbers do seem to underscore a politicization of this situation that we also have to address. Yes?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's such a difficult time for all of us in this country that we're so politically divided. And now even public health has become a political divide, which it never should be. For any of us who work in this space, we understand the critical nature of this work, that we need to be on the same page. We need to follow the science. And we're not doing that. There are people who are reluctantly wearing their masks, or defiantly is the better word, not wearing their masks because they feel like it's a Democrat thing, or it's an over-exaggeration of this pandemic. The numbers don't lie. You know, we're closely approaching 300,000 people dying of COVID-19 and the skyrocketing infection rates across this country, including here in Massachusetts, that the rates are going up. We can't afford to be politically divided when it's about saving lives. And it's unfortunate, but the poll gives us some places to go, right? Once we know that there's some lack of awareness, some divisions, we can then do the strategies, the messaging that reach those communities that are not responding in the way we need them to.
One of the things that seems to come forward from this poll, Michael, is the need for trusted brokers in the community to bring forward information, bring forward advice and guidance, provide reassurance. We talked a couple weeks ago on the show with Liz Walker, who's the pastor of Roxbury Presbyterian, who actually got Dr. Fauci to come do a Zoom with her community because she was concerned that her parishioners of color were not going to be comfortable taking this vaccine. As a head of an incoming head of a consortium of community health centers, what role do these local neighborhood healthcare providers play? And do you feel they've got the resources they need to play that connecting, brokering role in these next few weeks?
Starting backwards, I think the resource question is still yet to be decided, but the poll gives us some places to go, and it lets us know where we need to put our dollars and our people. And the reality is, if it's your local provider, your local public health expert, your local elected official, name the person. You may know them from the grocery store or from your local school board meeting, or your children go to the same school. People are already walking up to those people and saying, like Liz Walker, can I take this vaccine? Is it safe? And they're asking me the same thing no matter where I go. The reality is that we need to answer that question, and we need to have the resources to make sure that we're answering it the right way and that we're messaging the right way in the right languages, the right communities, the right cultural competence and how we communicate. We need to be ready to speak to them in the language and with the information they need.
I want to ask you, you said people walk up to you on the street and ask you, is it safe? I should ask you to say on air, what's your answer to that question?
That's a great question. I tell people, once they validate it, the FDA gives it the green light, we're seeing it approved overseas, I'll be in line to take it as well. This is a matter of life or death. And as I know, I have an aging mother and I have aging family members and I have people with comorbidities. I don't want to risk their lives either. So I'll be in line.
And that was Michael Curry, incoming CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers and a member of the NAACP's National Board of Directors.